You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll get to some baseball coming up. The winter meetings beginning. We have a Hall of Famer that makes, 2% of Met fans excited and 98% of Yankee fans very upset. We'll get to that a little bit later on. And your call's in a minute at 888-808-1019. But as I was sitting at another sporting event over the weekend, I was at the Nets-Pelicans game with my other son. It popped up onto my phone, this Adam Schefter-Mike Tomlin report. And I didn't get a chance to read it. I said, all right, I'll read it when I get home. I was driving back from the Nets game, and I was listening to the great Ricky Ricardo, who decided to talk about how I should wear another L because of the Mike Tomlin report.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, I haven't read the report yet, so I can't call in and defend myself because maybe I do deserve to take an L. And I read the article, and I'll read you a couple of sentences, mm-hmm. and you tell me what you take out of it, because what I take out of it is not that this is the death of Mike Tomlin to the Giants rumors. Adam Schefter writes, the Pittsburgh Steelers are not going to fire head coach Mike Tomlin, but they have a significant decision to make early next year. Mm-hmm. After this season, Tomlin's contract will have 2 years remaining, 2026 and a team option in 2027. But according to league sources, the Steelers must decide whether to pick up the option on Tomlin's contract by March 1st. There will be organizational meetings and decisions that occur, but not until after this season, with a full body of work for all appropriate parties to review, sources said. Now, I have drawn a major conclusion from just those three sentences. What's yours before I tell you mine?
So, I thought that the Pittsburgh Steelers are not going to fire Mike Tomlin. That's not going to be the circumstances that he leaves there. The question is, how much longer do they want him to be their head coach? Is it one more year? Because I don't think he does a lame duck year.
Right.
So if they're going to not pick up the option in March, meaning 2026 is his last season, I think they mutually agree to part ways. He won't coach the Steelers in 2026. It'll be a new coach in 2026.
Right.
If they're not planning on picking up the 27 option. But this is going to come down to Mike Tomlin. What does Mike Tomlin want to do? And the challenge for Mike Tomlin is that where are they going to finish? And as far as
it was a big win yesterday. I mean, they have a real chance to win the division.
Right. But I'm
certainly
not even talking about that. I'm just talking about where they project. They're projected right now to pick 19th in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
How in the hell is Mike Tomlin finding another quarterback? Because Aaron Rodgers isn't the guy. And it's sorry, Aaron, thanks for the year. You're out of here, no matter how far you go this season. For Mike Tomlin to want to commit to being the Steelers quarterback or head coach for the foreseeable future, and that's short term, 3 to 5 years, he has to find a quarterback. He hasn't had one since Big Ben
right.
That's viable to get him deep into the postseason.
They did draft Will Howard, who's their third stringer. I don't know how much they believe in him.
Yeah, but wasn't he a
sixth rounder?
Sixth rounder. Yep. I mean, the likelihood, and we know the statistics on these, of after third round quarterback getting you anywhere other than Dak Prescott is not. It's not big.
I get you.
And so he has to find his quarterback. Otherwise, I think Mike Tomlin voluntarily leaves the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, this article to me is it's basically a flare into the sky notifying NFL teams try to trade for Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
That's what I take out of that.
Yes, he's not to be had.
Yes, because this article, which is a leak to Adam Schefter, is telling the world the Steelers are going to think about it with Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to think about it. This is the first time we've even seen something like this.
Right.
As opposed to, oh, give me a break. Of course Mike Tomlin's going to coach the Steelers. The Steelers are going to have organizational meetings at the end of the year to discuss, do we want to pick up his option?
Right.
I mean, that is...
But again, I truly think that that's going to be a real conversation.
That's
sure. going to be, Mike, we've known each other for 2 decades. Let's be real about this. Let's talk about the direction of the franchise. And again, primarily it's going to be, tell me your ideas on quarterback.
Right.
And the general manager, whoever else is football operations is going to say, well, this is who we think we can acquire. This is what the draft looks like. If we have to move around and try to trade up 3 first-round picks or 2 first-round picks from future years to go get somebody in this year's, like, until they figure that out, and it's going to be a real conversation. I don't think they actually know, but I do have trouble believing that they're going to figure that out. Who's the quarterback?
No, I have no idea.
Maybe
Aaron Rodgers for another year.
They're not picking in the top 15.
Right.
And I don't want Aaron Rodgers to be my quarterback for another year if I'm Mike Tomlin trying to win deep in the postseason. I get there because they always get there. If you're Mike Tomlin, you need a real exciting, viable option at quarterback. Otherwise, what the hell are you doing?
Right, but I also think that this leak from the Steelers tells you they may not want to bring him back. Forget about the conversations about quarterback. They have to think about it?
No, I don't think
they're
so.
They're not sure if they want to pick up his option?
I think that's misconstrued. I think it's
how I take it.
No, I think it's more, not that they have to think about it, it's more they have to talk about it.
Right. They have to talk about his future.
But they have to talk about it with him.
Yeah.
They're not going to talk about it. Trust me, they are not talking about Mike Tomlin's future without him part of the conversation.
You don't think they're evaluating where this season goes?
No, that would be utterly disrespectful for the longest tenured coach in the history of one of the great storied franchises of football.
Mm.
There's no way that happens. And knowing, I don't know the Rooney family, but just knowing about them, they're not going to disrespect Mike Tomlin by talking about him behind his back and making a decision that they don't want him anymore.
WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. I think this story by Adam Schefter is the first little step towards the breakup. Now, does it ultimately lead to the New York Giants? There's a lot of complications towards this because I think then the discussion that Giant fans may have is, what are you willing to give up? Like, if these discussions between the Steelers and Mike Tomlin lead to a place of, hey, we are going to break it up, we're not going to pick up your option, the Steelers have every right to say, we still have your contract, we'd like to trade you.
Yeah.
The Jets traded Herm Edwards.
And it's technically 2 years.
Right. Right. With that option.
It's not just one, it's 2 years.
So if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially when you say, how do you find the quarterback? Well, that's how you find the quarterback. You call up a team like the Tennessee Titans or the New York Giants. Obviously, Mike would have to be on board with going there,
right,
and say, give me that first round pick.
Sean, what did Sean Payton got traded, right?
He did.
What did he get traded for?
The Saints got from the Broncos a first round pick, which was number 29 overall, a 2024 second round pick, and then the Saints in exchange had to give up a third round pick with Payton.
So, I mean, that's some draft equity, man.
It is. Now, it's
wow.
Would you value that the same or less than trading a top 5 pick, which the Giants will have?
Yeah. I don't think 29 is different than top 5.
Yeah.
Right, but not a second and a third, which you also threw into that trade. I'm not including that. I'm saying, would you trade a top 5 pick for Mike Tomlin? Because I think that's, if this goes the way I feel it's going to go, which is the Steelers opening up, like, hey, we'll trade him.
Right.
They're going to ask for that, rightfully so.
I think you lose out, you get everything from the Jets, and then you trade the Colts pick, then you pull it off.
All right, you're getting too complicated. Let's assume the Giants don't finish with the number 1 pick. Let's say they're picking 4th.
Right.
Would you trade the 4th overall pick to the Pittsburgh Steelers for Mike Tomlin?
Probably not.
Probably not. Okay. How about you, Sean?
Yes.
You would do it. Okay. And you, Tommy?
I would not.
You would not do it. Okay. Fair enough.
Would you?
Would I do it if I'm the Giants?
Yes.
I would.
I would.
I would try to negotiate it. I would try to negotiate it down. Like, I want to be fair about this. I would try to play that game of we're not giving you that, but we'll give you this or this.
Right.
So obviously I would try to play the game, but I do think that a culture changer like Mike Tomlin is worth so much that, yes, he's worth more than, like, think about what you're drafting at number four. And I'm not saying number one overall because I do think that's a very different discussion.
Likely whoever the impact linebacker is.
Okay.
Like the best linebacker.
Would you trade an impact linebacker for an impact head coach? The answer is yeah.
Probably.
Right. So
probably.
Ultimately, if push comes to shove, I would do that. But I really think that this leak to Adam Schefter is all about setting this up, which is the idea of, yeah, they're not going to simply fire him, but they'll be open to trades for him. And then obviously, look, you've made this point for a while, and I trust you when you say, I don't think Mike's going to want to coach if it's not the Steelers. Maybe you're right.
Well, I don't think
Maybe it's a delayed trade then.
I don't think he's going to want to coach if it's not.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In his control. You know what I mean? So it'd be one thing if they're firing him just outright. You know what? We've had enough. You've had a great 19 years here, a title. You're constantly in the postseason, you never have sub-500 records, but we're done. It's run its course. See you, Mike Tomlin. Good luck with you. If that happened, I think he'd sit out. I think he would say, fine, I am not wanted. I'm going to take a break and collect myself. I'm 53 years old and figure out what the hell I want to do with the short-term future of my life. And then eventually get back into coaching. But if it's a, what do you need to succeed? We need this quarterback. We need this. Okay, we can't give that to you, but this other team can. Let's talk about how we get you there. That feels like Mike Tomlin's also in control. So if you're in control of your future, you have a much more vested interest in having conversations about your future.
Ultimately,
if you have no control, it's the last thing you want to do is be told you don't have a job anymore.
Right.
And so it's for Mike Tomlin, he has to be a part of it because I think they owe him the respect to be a part of
it. No doubt. That's a part of why I always thought it would end up with the Giants, because I think that if there is a trade something of that nature. I think the Giants and Steelers families have great relationships with each other, as we know.
No, you're right.
And I would think that if Mike Tomlin is going to continue coaching without sitting out a year, he would want the perfect job. And on a lot of levels, the Giant job's pretty damn good. I say that as an IFO. I mean, if you're going to give him the proper control, which I think you would, and so Joe Shane is not really a big factor here, you've got the quarterback, you've got talent on this roster, you've got the New York market.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that Mike would look at that and say, absolutely. So I don't know how everyone else took it, but when I finally sat down and read that Schefter report, I laughed and said, okay, he's setting up the trade.
Mm, yeah.
That's what that whole story was.
Oh, he's setting up. To get calls about
trades. Yes, calls about a trade. That's a part of the process, yes.
Speaking of trades, I'm going to say something into a microphone. You don't have to respond, but I need to say it into a microphone because Evan's nuts, and when I say it in office in a couple weeks, he's going to come on the air and claim it's his idea. You ready?
I would never do that.
Yeah, well, you've said before, then say it on air. The Giants get the first overall pick. They go to the Vikings and offer them the first overall pick since McCarthy stinks, but we get Kevin O'Connell and Justin Jefferson. Who's
There's no way Minnesota's giving up Justin
Jefferson. What are you, nuts over there?
Now he's taking my stuff because I've said that on the radio twice. I'll provide the audio next segment. I've said it twice already.
There's no chance that they're getting rid of Justin Jefferson. No chance.
He's disgruntled. You get the coach, too?
He's disgruntled because they don't have a quarterback, which means they need to get rid of J.J. McCarthy.
I just want you to know something, Sean. I'm wearing an L today for my incorrect Edwin Diaz prediction report. The L was worn for the very first time when Sean Morash stole a caller's idea.
I'm already in the clear.
Did you steal Tommy's idea?
I didn't, and I know I'm already in the clear because he's just bringing up Jefferson. My point was O'Connell, and I knew Jefferson was... I'm throwing both in there.
All right, so you want to trade the number one overall pick and get the best wide receiver on the planet and a top head coach.
Yeah, we'll have to float something else. 2027 third.
That seems fair. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019, the number. Let's go to Elvin in Elizabeth. What's up, Elvin?
Hey, Elvin.
Hey, what's up, guys? Long time no talk.
Yo.
Listen, I couldn't agree with Evan more. I would absolutely even trade the number one overall pick for Mike Tomlin, and I'll tell you why. This is how I'm looking at it. Let me ask you guys this. Would you trade any one of the following, Abdul Carter, Evan Neal, or Kayvon Thibodeau for Mike Tomlin?
Yes.
Those were top picks. So the picks to me, if you don't have the right people pulling the trigger, are useless. Tomlin's a proven commodity. I don't care where we end up in the draft. I would easily give up that top pick.
Well, but coaches make a difference, man. That's the one thing I think we'd all understand, even if the sticker shock on something like that alarms you.
Yeah.
Coaches make a difference. My answer, and I told you this story, I had this argument with Francesi years ago, and he said, would you trade Jose Reyes for Johan? And I said, I don't have to. My pushback would be, I don't have to, right? Like, I could negotiate, especially if I know Mike Tomlin wants to coach my team. I could negotiate a 2 and a 3 the way the Sean Payton deal went down. Like, you would think I'd be able to negotiate it in a way in which I'm not giving up a top 5 pick. Yeah. But ultimately, a coach makes a difference.
Yeah, but Sean did it in a unique way because he stepped away from the team, right?
And he went to Fox for a year.
Yeah, he stepped away. He allowed the Saints to keep his contract. So there was no termination of relationship. It was just like, I'm stepping away. And then went to Fox and then got traded to the Broncos.
So the same thing could happen with Tomlin. If he decides, like you said, to step away for a year or two, the Steelers still own his contract. He goes to Fox or CBS, and when he's ready to coach again, the Steelers have the ability to acquire a pick or two for his services.
Yeah, and it separates the immediacy of not being in that job to being in another job.
Yeah.
Which makes it kind of hurtful sometimes for the Steelers, or for, in this case, the Saints.
Right. Let's go to Tim in Rockville Center. Hey, Tim.
What's up, guys? How are you? Thanks for taking the call today.
What's up, man?
No problem. What's up?
Well, firstly, I just want to say thank you for expressing the way Jet fans feel and react every week now with apathy. Season tickets, my friends and I, there's no emotion. Every game is a preseason game. It doesn't matter what they do. I don't believe AG is going to be the answer. I hope he is. The whole season, again, is over in September, and you go to those games. I have season tickets, like I said, and you've described it, Evan, as depressing. It is depressing. I was there for the Atlanta game. It's raining. It rained 3 of the games I attended this year. The whole mess needs to be blown up, and I don't have the answer with Woody remaining in charge, but the Jets are at a point where it's never been this low. It's never been. I even the call is a call-up. Where's Ira? does anybody even care anymore? I think
you completely nailed it, and that's what is so weird.
Right, and Tim, what he's saying is usually when you get a new head coach, there's just an energy that comes with the new head coach. And it's not about winning, per se. It's just about a new, different energy.
Right.
Think about the Dan Campbell. And he's the obvious one because we're familiar with him here in New York. But when he went to Detroit, they stunk for 2 years. But you still felt energized by him. Like, oh, man, this feels like something's going to change. That historical doldrum that they've been in, it feels like it's changing. You can't say that about the Jets.
Well, I'll tell you, I think there's a combination of factors that have led to this ultimate depression. Now, he mentioned Iron Staten Allen. I saw Iron Staten Allen last night or yesterday afternoon at the Jet game. I sat like two rows from him.
Love it.
And, yeah, he seemed down and depressed about the Jets. So I think it's well said. I think what's adding is not just the obvious, 15 consecutive years without the playoffs. That's obvious. And so many years without a 500 season. The obvious. You know what I think adds to it?
What's that?
A year and a half ago, we thought this team could go to an AFC championship game. A year and a half ago, we thought Aaron Rodgers could lead this talented roster to a championship. Like, not that I predicted it, not that you predicted it, but it was discussed. It was like, oh, the Jets, they should be a playoff team. They should do this.
It's on the table.
It's on the table. And to go from that level of hope to this, it's like... It's very similar to what happened to the Nets, where you go from, wow, we can win a championship, we have all these superstars, to, oh my God, they're tanking for picks. Like, it's
the Nets still in the league.
It's such an extreme that the Jets have now gone through that I think it makes it more depressing. And look, Woody Johnson's not oblivious. There was a sell the team chant. The building was completely empty. Mm-hmm. What is he going to do about it? The answer is probably not.
There's not much he can do
Keep
about
his
it.
Fingers crossed that things are going to change. And hopefully, like the New York Knicks, they change. Right? They hired Leon Rose. We didn't know it at the time. He turned out to be the answer.
Right.
So hopefully Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn turn out to be the answer.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. You got to find, when you do hire whatever the new GM or whoever it's going to be, the executive that's going to turn the culture around, you got to find that bridge coach. And doing it with first-time coaches doesn't work.
Man. No, I know.
It's hard for a first-time coach to be a bridge coach. It just is.
Let's go to Josh in Latham. What's up, Josh?
Josh, what's up?
How's it going? Thanks for the call.
What's up?
Thank you. Just want to say I think the Giants would be fools if they fired Joe Shane. And you guys talked about a bridge coach. I think Mike McCarthy, without trading a pick, could provide what Tom Thibodeau did for the Knicks and get us to a respectable organization.
That is the appealing part of Mike McCarthy. Like, I think Mike Tomlin is a better head coach than Mike McCarthy, but they're not like a million light years apart. They both have won championships.
Yeah.
And the appealing part about Mike is you don't have to give up anything.
No.
In the Tomlin case, we are talking about giving up picks. I'm sorry. I'm concerned because our room is shaking. And so I don't know if it's an earthquake because I would want to say, hey, there's an earthquake. But apparently there's construction in our building, so it's not an earthquake.
It's either that or Sean had a lot of beans over the weekend.
Which I
kind of let it out.
Beans are good for our heart.
Beans,
they make you fart. The more you fart, the better you feel. So eat your beans for every meal.
Look at you.
Every Sunday night, brother.
All over that. Or there could really be an earthquake going on, and we're just going to be oblivious to it and say, oh, yeah, worth the shaking. No big deal. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's construction in our building, but it is vibrant.
It's, like, disconcerting.
I know. I feel like this is going to be the end of us. We're just going to collapse. Let's go to Victor in Sacramento. What's up, Victor?
What's up, Victor?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Tiki, I just have a two-part question for you, if I may.
Go ahead.
Right now, we're talking about the Giants coaching candidates, and not one college football coach came up. And growing up, I remember there would be, like, always at least one or two, whether it was Harbaugh, the original time, Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
My first question is, do you think the recency success or lack thereof is contributing to that?
Victor, you're 100%. Like, Rule... You nailed it. It's Matt Rule. It's Urban Meyer. It's those utter disasters of these college coaches that tried to go coach in the NFL and just felt lost. And it's interesting because college coaches work hard. Like, they're recruiting constantly. It's a grind. But college coaches' jobs pale in comparison to what an NFL job is. And part of the challenge is getting a college coach acclimated to basically sleeping in your office.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think you need to do that, but you do need to do that. And I know Matt Rhule struggled with that. Urban Meyer, certainly, he didn't want to travel with the team half the time. So it's a different animal. And until you've experienced that, you just don't know it at all.
And I think as a fan, when something fails, you're afraid to try to be the team that experiments with it, and it doesn't fail.
Because there hasn't been a success in that realm since, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury was probably the one that came the closest.
I mean, do we include Jim Harbaugh on a list like this?
No, because he coached, I mean, he coached in the league.
I know, but he also coached in college, then coached in the league, then coached in college, and coached in the league.
Yeah.
He was able to do both.
You know what? Jim Harbaugh is a unicorn. He's just a unicorn. Part of it is because he played in the league. Now, if you can give me an example of a quarterback who was relatively successful in the NFL, then had a great college coaching career, and now is going to make the jump into the NFL, I'd say, okay, maybe we'll consider that guy. But most of these professional college coaches weren't great players,
right,
or even close to being NFL players. So their touch to the league is just the guys that they sent to the league. It's not actually being in it.
Yeah, I get you. Our assessment on Brady Cook's NFL debut, and why is Pete Alonso driving to the winter meetings? Wonder if Tiki remembers this. I wonder if Sean remembers this. I wonder if Tommy remembers this. But on Friday, we made predictions on how many turnovers the New York Jets would force, considering they're having this historic season where they have only forced two turnovers the entire year.
Right.
So on Friday,
I kind of remember this.
You do now?
I do now.
I went around the room and said, all right, you know, this team has been inept at forcing turnovers. How many do you think they'll force? Let's start it off and obviously check in. For those that are not aware, the Jets forced zero turnovers on Sunday against the Dolphins. They did commit three themselves. two interceptions by Brady Cook. One was late. And one interception by Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
So three turnovers by the Jets. They forced zero of them. Here's what Tiki Barber said on Friday. Tiki, how many turnovers did the New York Jets force on Sunday against the Dolphins?
Well, Tua is prone. I think they get their first interception of the season.
And that's the only turnover they force?
One.
Mm-hmm. One.
That's close.
That was, he was only off by one. So that's for Tiki Barber. Here is both Sean Morash and then Tommy Lugauer. Sean Morash, how many turnovers did the New York Jets force on Sunday?
Tua.
That's a good one.
It's still funny.
He's good today.
He's good today.
That was a good one.
Tommy, how many turnovers?
A tough act to follow.
I'm telling you, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to go two. One of them is going to go back to the house.
Yeah.
So I pick six.
Go back to the house.
Yeah, we all went back to the house.
Hold on a second. Crap. Tua almost threw a pick six, though.
But he didn't.
But he almost did.
I don't care
if the defender could have caught the ball. He was 5 yards in. He would have walked in for a pick six.
There was also balls on the ground. Like, there were opportunities for the Jets to force turnovers on Sunday.
Yeah, there was another one popped in the air. I think it was Isaiah Oliver just missed it.
Yeah, the backwards pass.
Horseshoes and hand grenades, boys.
Thank you.
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
Thank you. I don't want to hear how close you were. You weren't close. The answer's zero. You're wrong. Sean's wrong. Tiki's wrong. Guess who is right? Here's my prediction.
The answer's zero.
Mm-hmm. And the beat rolls on. And the beat rolls out.
Unfortunately, you were right.
That's my gut feeling. Zero. Yeah. And the beat rolls on. And the beat rolls on.
To be fair, I was also saying zero, but I went for the cheap joke. So.
Right. I'm sure you did.
It was a cheap joke. It was pretty good, too.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell in the replay of that how much Tiki liked that cheap joke.
I was still laughing.
Like, the biggest thing I took away.
Later, I'm still laughing.
The biggest thing I took away from this whole science experiment of us predicting how many turnovers the Jets would force is how much Tiki loved Sean's joke about Tua. That's what I learned. Let's get to your phone calls. Did you hear that Pete Alonso is driving to the winter meetings?
Mm.
Paul in Newark, New Jersey. What do you think of that, Paul?
That's what I called about it. You know, I always thought that the Mets are going to have to settle on Pete and Diaz early. I know Stearns likes the market to play out, but they got a lot of work to do. You need two starting pitchers. You need a left fielder. You need your first baseman. You need your closer. So I always thought, are they going to settle on these guys and sign them early? Do you think this is a sign that they're going to sign them early?
No. I don't think it's a sign at all. Here's what it's a sign of. It's a sign of the fact that Scott Boras may have overplayed his hand again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we heard a month ago that Boras and Alonso were asking for 7 years, and it doesn't feel like any team is close to that. And right now, the only team outside of the Mets that you've heard like has a real interest in Pete are the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
And even for them, it may be a backup plan. So I think Pete driving from Central Florida to the winter meetings, which are also in Central Florida, it's actually at Disney, I think is a sign of Pete saying, boy, I don't know if I'm getting 7 years, 6 years, or 5 years. Let me try these face-to-face with these teams and see if that helps.
Do you think that Pete is going to stop by Epcot and have some drinks around the world?
Absolutely.
Why would you not?
I mean, you're an idiot if you don't.
Hard no.
Exactly. You're going to have all these intense conversations with the Boston Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles, and they're going to say, we don't really want you. He's going to be like, all right, let's go, Japan. Here we go, Italy.
Now for those
all right, Germany. Where is the Steins?
He does have a newborn at home.
That is true.
And even more reason.
Exactly. Needs to break.
That's why he actually went to the winter meeting, just to get away.
Yeah.
But so what Tiki is describing, and I want to paint the picture, is that the winter meetings are at the Swan Hotel or the Dolphin Hotel. I think it's the Swan Hotel, but both of those hotels are in the back of Epcot Center at Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful, beautiful hotels. They are both within walking distance of the international gateway of Epcot Center. Trust me, I know. I was just there. In fact, I stayed at one of those hotels, right? So if you're Pete Alonso and you are going to meet with these teams, don't you think you're meeting in Mexico?
I would.
I mean, what? You're going to go to the hotel? Are you going to say, meet me, let's have a nice margarita?
Right. I would. Or France. 7 martinis.
Yeah. Or Germany, like you said.
Have some beers.
There's so many great options. But I think that the challenge the Mets are facing, it's not about pitching. Because to me, it has nothing to do with Pete Alonso. Because I think that Steve Cohen doesn't have a set budget. I think there's players and how much he's willing to go with each of these guys.
Right.
I don't think Pete Alonso's contract is relative to their pursuit of Framber Valdez.
So you think it's more about pitching?
Well, I think it's about everything. I think you can juggle at the same time. I think if Pete Alonso agreed to what the Mets are offering, he'd be a Met tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But Pete is still looking for 5, 6, 7 years. My concern about the timetables is not about pitching. It's what if Schwarber comes off the books and now you're waiting on Pete the way you did last year, and now Bellinger comes off the books. Excuse me, and Tucker comes off the books.
This is from a Mets Now perspective.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure out, all right, is Pete our only option?
Right. Like last year, they were almost positioned where if they didn't bring Pete back, no big deal, we gave you Soto.
Mm-hmm.
If all of these other pieces are coming off the board, what does the backup plan turn into for Pete Alonso if he drags this thing into January or February? That's the risk. Because I think Kyle Schwarber is going to sign first.
Mm.
And at least I view Kyle Schwarber as a backup plan. Not sure the Mets do. But where does that leave them if
Kyle Schwarber's for it? Because he's cleaner. It's just you know what you're getting. You're getting a DH who's going to mash. He's going to mash whoever. And you can plug him in wherever. You're not worried about, he's a defensive liability. Oh, can we play him in the outfield? He's a DH.
Right.
And you're getting what you're paying for.
The positive of it is that he doesn't hurt you defensively. The negative of it is you lose flexibility at DH because all he does is DH. But I think Pete's making this drive because he knows Scott Boras may have overplayed his hand again.
Mm.
Like, if Kyle Schwarber is trying to get 4 or 5 years, is Pete Alonso getting 7 years, even if he's 2 years younger? The way teams view Pete Alonso, it's almost like they view Schwarber on a higher level than Pete Alonso.
Yeah, because it's not, he's just DHing.
Yeah.
It's just it's a cleaner operation, and it's a cleaner expectation for what he's going to do. Pete's going to want to play. Now, ultimately, if he has to sit and not play first base, is that going to bother him?
I think he'd rather play first base, but clearly he's moved off of he's got to play first base every single day. And I think the Orioles, the Red Sox, and even the Mets probably view him as a guy that will play some first base, but DH a lot. So my interpretation on him driving to Florida is more about Boras and their negotiations than it is about the Mets. I think the Mets are doing with Pete Alonso what they're doing with Edwin Diaz, which is, here's where we're willing to go.
Right.
If you can do better, let us know. And so far, as of this moment, Alonso and Diaz have not been able to do better than what the Mets are offering. We've heard Edwin wants a fifth year. Mets aren't willing to budge. Has anyone offered Edwin Diaz a fifth year? Pete Alonso wants 7 years. I don't even know if he has an offer on the table. Like, what's the longest term deal even on the table for Pete Alonso? Let's go to Sam and Jackson. What's up, Sam?
Hey, guys. What's doing? I'm a Yankee fan, but Evan, I've listened to the Rico, and you were talking about Yankee-Mets trades, and I think for the Yankees, the key of the offseason would be a Carlos Rodon trade to the Mets. And what I think is, if you could get a serviceable third baseman in return, like a Brett Beatty, then that would allow you to trade McMahon as well for a small return. And that $40 million in net savings
will give you new flexibility and really change the offseason.
So let me ask you, Tommy Lugauer, would you trade Brett Beatty for Carlos Rodon? It was just offered by a Yankee fan named Sam.
No. Why? I would not.
Why?
I'd just rather have the everyday player than the pitcher that pitches once every 5 days.
Just keep this in mind about Carlos Rodon. He has 3 years and $81 million left on his contract. Mm. If Carlos Rodon, even coming off of an injury at age 33 years old, and by coming off an injury, I mean an offseason injury, because he obviously took the baseball every 5 days, including the postseason. If a 33-year-old Carlos Rodon, coming off a year in which he won 18 games and pitched with 309 ERA and threw 195 innings, if that guy was a free agent, what would we say about a three-year, $80 million deal?
You'd say, yes.
You'd say, that's a steal.
Let me take it.
It's exactly what the Mets want to hand out.
Yeah.
They don't want to give a 5 or 6 year deal. So I find Rodon fascinating.
Especially if he becomes expendable to the Yankees.
The question is he expendable to the New York Yankees?
Depends. Well, it depends on the Alcantara stuff. If that is real or comes to fruition, then where is there room for him? Especially if you're going to give Cam Schlittler his due in the lineup. You're also hearing that Michael King is coming back to the Yankees. So there's many different iterations of what the Yankees are going to look like. Carlos Rodon might be the odd man out.
Would you trade Carlos Rodon for Brett Beatty?
Brett Beatty.
That's Sam's trade offer.
I probably would.
You say yes.
I think I would.
Sean, would you trade Carlos Rodon for Brett Beatty?
I would.
How about that? So we almost have a match because Tommy said no.
What was your Rico proposal?
No. We did a Rico last night. You can download it wherever you download podcasts where we did a horde of Mets Yankees trades.
So there was a bunch of different
ones. Was a bunch of them. The one that was most popular, and we started it by talking about it here, and Big Mac Chris McMonagle said he would make the trade. And that is Mark Vientos for Jason Dominguez.
Right.
And I do think that's the one on paper. And it's so funny because Brian Cashman was on Yankees Hot Stove last night. And Brian Cashman's like brutally honest. And I forget the term he used, Sean. I don't know if you remember the term, but he talked about making a push trade, I think is what he called it.
I think it was a push swap.
A push swap.
What does that mean? Like, so, it's no harm, no foul. We kind of both get what we want.
He defined
Nobody's
it as...
Nobody's winning, so to say.
He compared it to Jesus Montero for Michael Pineda, which was a catcher for a pitcher. So I almost think two young players who haven't fully shown their potential who kind of fit our need for your need.
Right.
And there's nothing that fits needs more than Vientos for Dominguez. I mean, think about it. Vientos is a right-handed hitter who plays first base and third base.
Yeah.
Cashman's telling the world I need another right-handed bat, and the Mets could certainly use an outfielder.
Right.
And Jason Dominguez has great potential as a switch-hitting left fielder. Vientos has one less year of control than Dominguez. Vientos has proven more at the major league level. Mm-hmm. He has 2 years ago.
That's because he's just gotten more opportunities, really.
He has. But that's the one that, like, it really does fit and make a lot of sense. I just don't know if they have the balls to do it.
Yeah. Just because of the fan base connection to each of them respectively.
No, I think it's the risk of what happens if they become a star.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Because what if the...
But Jason, let's be real from a Yankees fan perspective. Is Jason Dominguez going to have room to become a star with the Yankees?
Potentially. I mean, Trent Kershaw's only here for 1 year.
Is it yes or is it potentially?
I think he's got room.
If you had to say yes or no. Yes or no? Nowhere in the middle.
It depends.
Yes or no.
It depends what they do with the rest of the offseason.
That's why it's convoluted. Because if you ask me this question, if I was running the Yankees, I would never make that trade in a million years. But knowing who is running the Yankees, they probably should make that trade because of what you're saying. I don't think they're ever going to give him the room to blossom and become a star.
And you know what? And that's what fits Vientos. Because I'll ask you this: does Mark Vientos with the New York Mets have room to play and become a star?
No, we already talk about how they're overloaded at second and third. Like, there's nowhere from the
at first base and really a DH. Because David Stearns even said earlier this offseason, Vientos is a DH. Mm. So if he's a DH, and yet they want to DH Pete Alonso a lot more, or they may sign Kyle Schwarber. I struggle to believe that there's really room for Mark Vientos based on what David Stearns has said.
Well, right now, there is no DH, so Mark Vientos would be the DH.
So now this complicates in my mind.
Well, that's right now, but the offseason will include
moves. Mark Vientos is traded to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Where is he playing?
First base and third base.
Where are you doing Ben Rice?
I mean, he's a right-hand hitter who can play against tough lefties in both of those spots.
Or catch.
Well, Ben Rice could catch.
Yeah.
Or DH when Giancarlo's out. Like, I think there's a lot of room for Vientos. Because remember what Brian Cashman said.
It feels like it's getting into that, he's a positionless guy.
No, but
he's just an everywhere guy.
But he said they need a right-handed bat.
They need a right-handed bat, but they also need a third baseman.
And Mark Vientos can play third base.
Yes. but the Yankees aren't worried about.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Defensive liability?
I don't know. You ask Brian Cashman. I'm just saying. I don't talked know. I'm about, asking.
Well, Jason, what's more important? A right-handed bat or a somewhat shaky third baseman?
I mean, look, there are flaws in Vientos' game, just like you could argue with the Mets. Well, Jason Dominguez isn't a great defender. Why would David Stearns want
we
that?
We don't know if Jason Dominguez isn't a great defender.
No,
we've seen him enough.
No, we've seen that.
In left field. He's a center fielder.
Okay. He's not a great defensive outfielder, Teague. Yeah. I mean, in the games we've seen him play, it's only 150 regular season games.
Not a lot.
But the point is, they're both flawed players, but don't you agree that the positions they play fit each of the two teams?
Oh, of course they do.
The Mets need an outfielder, and the Yankees could use a guy who can play first base and third base. That's the trade that makes sense. But I do think there's a star risk on both players. Vientos showed more of it, certainly a year and a half ago, on what he did in the postseason. And Dominguez was like one of the Yankees' biggest prospects for what feels like a half a decade.
Right.
So do they have the balls to trade him cross town and have that risk of either one of them becoming a star? I would personally, I'm raising my hand as a Mets fan, I would make that trade. Chris Big Mac McMonagle would also make that trade. But I get the sense from both Tommy and Sean, who also are Met Yankee fans, you both would not make the trade.
No. Again, I think the Yankees should make that trade. If I was the GM, I wouldn't. There's two different answers.
Okay, and you would not make the
trade. I would not make that trade. And I don't see how Vientos becomes a star on the Yankees, because based on your plan, he's not going to play every day. How are you becoming a star if you're the backup first baseman, you're the backup third baseman, well, you're the part-time DH? He could be the full-time DH on the Mets.
No, he can't.
Yes, he can.
They're going to try to re-sign Pete Alonso, where he's going to DH a lot.
He's David not. Stern oh, no. You really think
didn't David Stern say that?
He did, but define a lot, Evan. Come on, man.
If I had to guess, I mean, it sounds like they want him to DH maybe half the season, you maybe really a third of the season.
80-plus games?
If they're putting a premium on defense, Vientos doesn't fit playing a position with the Mets based on the words of David Stearns. Hmm. I mean, that's what he said a couple weeks ago when he described Mark as a player. Now, it's fair to bring that up and say, well, what does Cashman think? Well, Cashman hasn't talked about Mark Vientos. I don't know what he would think he's on the team.
Why would he? He's not in a conversation yet.
But I disagree with you, Tommy. I don't think he fits on this team right now based on where they're going. They're going to add a DH. Hopefully it's Pete. I think we agree with that.
Right.
He's going to DH a lot. They don't like Vientos playing the field.
Okay,
so
we might be getting
fit
into Rico territory, but then who's going to be the first baseman when Alonso's the DH?
Someone who plays the position well, who may not be on this team right now, but not Mark Vientos.
Okay.
The answer to your question is,
all right,
not Mark Vientos.
And circling back to something, I would trade Beatty for Rodon if you're telling me Bregman is my third baseman. Because I think anybody that's accepting that trade, I have to know who the third baseman is.
I got you.
Just like you said, we got to go through the entire offseason.
Well,
we're kind of out of order.
Since
here.
You love Mark Vientos, the answer is Mark Vientos, right?
Tiki said it, not me, so this is not positive. Tommy saying this. His work at third base needs a little work, fielding-wise.
This is so funny. Dominguez for Vientos, I don't care what anyone says. It makes a ton of sense. It just will never happen.
It is interesting, though.
Of course it is.
Because it's like, we love this guy. We love our guy. All right. We can love them on opposite now.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
But there's just too much risk. Can you imagine if Jason Dominguez became a star with the Mets? Or even if Mark Vientos became a star? Nah. There's just so much risk.
Right. If you could just guarantee that they both would become stars on the opposite teams, it'd be a wash.
Yeah.
Right. We're good, man.
It'd work out beautifully. Let's go to Jack in West Caldwell. What's up, Jack?
Hey, what's going on, Evan and Ziggy?
What's up?
Yo.
So, Ev, although I know you're going to have a great answer for this, I'm a little bit more directed towards Tiki, since you're such a big Jet fan. I know it makes sense to you, Evan, that we have negative turnovers in the last few weeks. Zero is blowing my mind. And each week they keep showing the totals for the NFL. I think we're up to 340-something interceptions, 168 different players. It's almost baffling to me at this point, and the only answer for it is being a Jets fan, I guess. But I was wondering, as someone who strapped the pads on yourself and actually played in the NFL, is there any answer for this? Can it make any sense? Is Woody Johnson that curse?
Well, for the turnovers, not forcing the turnovers? No, I don't think it's a curse thing.
It's Woody's fault.
I mean, honestly, it's the coordinator's fault. So just watching the Miami game, there were so many wide open throws for Tua. Wide open.
Especially those first three drives. Oh, my God.
And part of it is because they don't do a good job stopping the run. And so now all of a sudden, they're second levels. And so Sherwood and Quincy Williams are so aggressive attacking the run. Right? So what's happening is that they have a zone behind. So they have, let's say, cover three. So there's three deep safeties going back, right? And as long as it's a pass play, all the zones should be filled, right? Quincy Williams should be in a zone. Sherwood should be in a zone. The nickel corner should be in a zone. But they're so, like, focused on attacking the run. Tua would do a play fake, and all three of those guys are down near the play fake. And so you remember there was a couple of naked bootlegs where Tua is faking and then he's kind of just turning and the tight end is just wide open, right? That's because you're so attacked to the run game, you can't get back and cover your zone. And so unless you change how you're playing that coverage, you're giving up free releasers and free yards every single, you know, snap, it feels like. So part of it is just not having a good personnel. Part of it is the defensive play calling.
Yeah, and I think
it was just bad. It was just really, really bad.
In yesterday's case, and this is very dissimilar to the previous weeks.
Yes.
They had chances at forcing turnovers.
This week they did.
They did. They had at least three balls that could have been intercepted. There was the backwards pass that was ruled a backwards, a forward pass, and not a backwards pass. You had one fumble that was on the ground. Like, the opportunities were there on Sunday, and sometimes it feels like it's bad luck. You know, I think that's a small factor, but I think when you have only forced two turnovers through this amount of games, it's a combination of everything.
Yeah.
It's ineptitude, it's defensive play calling, it's bad luck.
Right. Not hustling to the ball, not having multiple guys around the contact point, things of that nature.
It's crazy.
And then sometimes you get too obsessed with trying to create them that you don't make the plays. It was Brandon Stevens had a play on Achan, I think it was, whoever it was. He was trying to strip the ball.
Yeah.
And he went an extra 10 yards.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, dude.
Missed tackles all over the place. Missed tackles all over the place. What'd you think of Brady Cook? I know he's tough to kind of really fairly grade.
He felt overwhelmed because it was a couple of like ball mishandling things.
Yes,
and
couldn't hand the ball from the center a couple of times.
And I know he was prepared for it because he was named the backup midway through the week. But this kid hasn't seen jack. He doesn't know, you know what, from Shinola. And so he's out there having to play after whatever it was, the third series, fourth series, whatever it was of the game. I just felt bad for him. There's no way he had a grasp of that offense.
I felt bad for him in terms of, I keep thinking of the tweet that Sean was making fun of from Jazina Anderson about Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
About not seeing first team reps.
Yeah.
Brady Cook was nowhere near first team reps.
No.
The guy was a third string practice squad player all year long. Fields gets hurt, seemingly out of nowhere, gets elevated to a backup. In the middle of the week. Gets elevated to backup. We jokingly on Friday say, can you see it now? He's going to enter this game.
Yep.
This is where the Brady legend begins. And, of course, he does enter the game. And he felt, and I don't, when I say unprepared, I don't mean it's his fault or even Glenn's fault, completely unprepared. And I guess most third-string quarterbacks who just got elevated to the backup job on Thursday would look that way. But he looked completely unprepared. I thought as the game went on, he looked a little bit more comfortable. And I think I'd like to see him with first-team reps.
Yeah.
So I'm not burying the kid.
No, not yet.
I want to see him get a real chance. That was not a real chance.
No, coming into a game like that is rough. After having 3 days of practice as the backup, not even as the first-team guy.
But even unprepared, he never looked overwhelmed.
No, he wasn't overwhelmed. It's just like he didn't know where to go.
Yeah, he looked more prepared than Zach Wilson when he entered the game.
Let's go to Jackson in Queens. What's up, Jackson?
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to know, Evan, why are you playing the Mets GM today on the radio where you're trying to do this whole spin on trying to destroy the Yankees roster? I could tell your mood is like you feel like a genius this morning. You woke up. You're going to try to trade Mark Vientos for Jose Dominguez.
Jason Dominguez.
Are you out of your mind?
Well, Big Mac agrees with me, and he's a big Yankee fan. I'm not like
Big Mac?
Yeah.
Big Mac agrees with you. I don't think Big Mac agrees with you.
Of course he did. I did a whole podcast with him last night. Why would you think Mark Vientos would ruin the Yankees for Jason Dominguez? I'm confused by you right now.
Mark Vientos is not even a good player.
I mean, he had a pretty good
year. Jose Dominguez is a potential.
His name is Jason Dominguez. You don't even know your player's name. Stop it. Now I'm not even going to continue arguing with you. Because I corrected you the first time, and you kept calling him Jose. His name isn't Jose. It's Jason.
Here is the issue that I have, though. If McMonagle is willing to give up a Yankee, that means that guy stinks. I mean, Chris McMonagle will defend these plays. You know, you lose Walter Cronkite, you lost McMonagle. Dominguez.
I think what it is with C-Mac is that he doesn't want Jason Dominguez, not Jose, to become Anthony Volpe, where it was so much hype. And then he finally gets put in a position to be that guy, and he's just not.
I think you guys are overthinking it. Two young players with great potential.
I'm talking about C-Mac.
No, but I'm giving you his answer. His answer is he fits the Yankees and what they need. He's a guy who can play first base, third base. He's a Mark Vientos.
Oh, yes, of course.
So it's not that complicated.
No, but the caller was positioning you as dismantling the Yankees.
Right, because I'm getting rid of Jason Dominguez.
Because you're getting rid of Jason Dominguez. There's a good chance that Jason Dominguez is not part of the plan.
And I'd be very curious, T, because I think most of us would agree that it's likelier than not Jason Dominguez gets traded this offseason.
Yes.
Fair or not.
I would agree.
I am so curious what the return is. Because honestly, I don't know. He's not a prospect anymore. He played in the major leagues last year. And sometimes,
he's been up for 2 years.
Right. And he had the injury and all that. Like, I don't know what he gets back. But I kind of think it is, especially since Cashman put it in the air, it is going to be like a Jesus Montero for Michael Pineda trade, where it's fit for fit. It's young player for young player. So even though it won't be Mark Vientos because the Mets and Yankees won't make a trade like this, I kind of expect it to be similar with another player that we're not thinking of in another organization we're not thinking of. So just file that one away.
Right. It's just we're having this conversation with Mets and Yankees just because we're a two baseball team town.
Right.
And so it's just kind of like, all right, well, we need this, you need that. But there were multiple teams that need someone like Jason Dominguez.
And I think that's what it's going to end up being, if I had to guess right now what it turns into. But either way, our last caller hated it. Some people hate it. Okay, fine, you hate it.
Well, they probably hate it because it's Yankees-Mets.
I know.
If you're having this conversation, Yankees, I don't know, Twins. Or
I agree with you.
Diamondbacks. I don't know what the requisite, you know, Mark Vientos person is on those teams, but you'd be like, oh, that sounds great.
I agree. I think there are certain fans who kind of have like that cooties on the player on the other team.
Yeah.
So our last caller did that.
Right.
I think Tommy has it too. Like, oh, it's
I don't want your guy. Why are you pushing your guy? Why are you pushing your guy up to us? He sucks.
Exactly.
Even though he was a hero 2 years ago.
Exactly.
He was unflappable.
I know.
At the end of the regular season, into the postseason.
I know.
And now he sucks? Come on now.
Cooties. That's what it is. Cooties. It's like what the kids talk about.
Circle, circle, dot, dot.
We'll talk to the great Joe Beningo in a couple of minutes. We'll get back to your phone calls at 888-808-1019. And at 4:30 today, it is the debut of 25 and 25. The committee has released 25, 24, and 23. That's the listing of the most memorable moments in New York sports from the year that was.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.